Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you, one and all, for being with us. And I say evening because it's evening here, but you could be listening anywhere in the world at any time. And that is so cool that we can do that and share this time together. My guest tonight is Jessica Isis, who has a fascinating background with both spiritual and healing elements and science and math elements, and that always fascinates me. So we're going to have a great time talking to her. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And all of you, if you've listened enough, have heard me talking about the effects of the lunar cycles and solar cycles and various other things on me, but on a lot of other people. And it's been a very interesting month and a very interesting week in that for me, there, you know, this stuff affects people differently. So there are some people where the full moon really just makes them exhausted or confused or achy, or, you know, the mythology is crazy, but that's not necessarily true. But we're having a lot of solar activity, solar flares of various kinds, the solar wind, which is a stream of particles. And that sets off geomagnetic storms in the atmosphere, which have other effects. And lucky us, they're always in Canada, so just near where I live. But the effects can be different for each person, and they can be different at different times. So I have a friend who tracks all of this, which is great for me, so that when I'm feeling off, I can look at the what she's put down there and see, oh, we've had a coronal mass ejection, which is a huge solar flare. And the solar winds are stronger, and there's been three earthquakes, and she just lists all of the major energetic events on the planet. And then people write into her with their symptoms. So this month has been difficult for me. And for me, it's a lot like fibromyalgia. My body aches, and I kind of have brain fog. It's really hard to focus and get anything done, which is a nuisance. And that's been going on and off for weeks this month. And then there was a little break from it, and then it was the full moon, and so I was a little achy again. And then on Monday, I got up and I was normal. And it was shocking. Because when this stuff goes on long enough, you think that this is the way your life is going to be and it doesn't change. And I got up and nothing hurt. And I felt wonderful and I could get stuff done. And then, of course, there was more solar activity and it's not quite that good right now. But, you know, and you could listen to this and think that I'm just whining about it because it's not your experience. But what I want you to pay attention to is that there are things in nature, there are things going on as far away as the sun that are affecting everybody. And look for the patterns in that. If you're having, you know, in quotation marks, a bad day, you could write it off as being sick. You could go to the doctor and try and figure out what kind of sick you are. You could take a day off and sleep. You could do all kinds of things. But if you start looking at a larger picture, you realize that you're part of a much bigger whole. You're part of the Earth, and the Earth is part of the solar system, and there's a lot of change going on the planet and around the planet. And all of that affects you. And so it's a different way of being in the world. It's the way that a shaman looks at the world. Everything is connected, and the energy of everything is affecting you and communicating with you. So as is often the case, the message is pay attention, and pay attention to more than most people pay attention to. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now let's have some fun with Jessica Isis. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Hi, thank you.
So I ran across what you do on your Facebook page and was just fascinated at the combination of the scientific approach and also all the different healing modalities you do. But the first question I always ask our guests is, how did you wind up doing this? What was your journey in life that brought you to this place?
Well, it's definitely a long story, but
sure.
Right. I was just born very sensitive and very aware. My mom tells me stories about how, like, I would always have imaginary friends and stuff like that. And, like, when my grandpa passed away when I was six, she tells me, like, he came to me and, like, said goodbye. And, like, I knew it before she even told me anything happened and all this. So it's kind of connected. When I was in elementary school, I was just, like, obsessed with all these different religions and, like, mystical traditions and, like, symbolism. And it was really rare, like, being a kid. And, you know, my parents weren't into any of that stuff or anything like that. I did everything, like, through the library and, like, on my own. So I just kept growing into all these, like, different esoteric and, like, spiritual-type things. And in middle school, actually, my parents, because they knew I was so spiritual into that, they thought it was a good idea to send me to a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And, of course, not the best idea. Like, once I got to the Catholic school, I started rebelling because I saw through, you know, the falsehoods and everything. And I'm naturally very rebellious, you know, in general. So I just kind of went down, like, the wrong path. I can't really say the wrong path. It was just, like, a learning experience. But I got into science. And when I was 15, I read a book called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I've heard of the book. I haven't read it.
Okay. So it's interesting because it kind of ties in two different theories. Carl Pergram's holonomic brain model that kind of shows that the brain works as a hologram, decoding, like, frequencies and everything. And then David Bohm's interpretation of quantum mechanics, which suggests that the entire universe is a hologram. Right. And it in these two theories together, like, it explains a lot of strange spiritual phenomena. And I was just really fascinated with that. So I started getting into math and physics. So then through that path, I just kind of, like, integrated both worlds. And not a lot of people are actually familiar with David Bohm or Carl Pergram's theories. But I find really sad because it explains so much that, you know, mainstream science does not believe in and, you know, just ignores.
Well, they can't integrate it and they can't necessarily measure the things they're talking about. And that's really frustrating to scientists.
Right. Yes. But there's so much that can be explained just with those, like, models in mind. And, like, right now, because when I'm, you know, talking to other scientists and other people that are into this stuff, like, they just have no clue about this stuff. And I'll explain it. Some people are very open to it, and they're like, wow, that's fascinating. I never heard that. I'll do some research. Some people are really stubborn, and they're like, well, I've never heard this, you know, and go off on some rant. But it's interesting. I preferred, like, being challenged because it kind of helped me, like, go deeper myself and, like, question myself and, like, other things. You know.
Well, science, like so many other disciplines, winds up calcifying around what they know works.
Right.
And you know, the one that always cracks me up is archaeology. They'll dig a little deeper, literally, in a location where they have a lot of information and find a whole different history that really pushes aside all the concepts and the stuff that was not as deep in the ground, that was from a later period of time. And the people who have dedicated their careers to the stuff that is now well known just can't deal with it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and there's so many things out there just to research. And, you know, if it's not in the mainstream news or it's not in people's news feeds, they just don't care. It's
right.
Sad. And that's why I'm always on Facebook, like, posting information and trying to, like, really share a lot of this knowledge.
Right. The other thing in science is there are so many journals and so many specialties that if you're only reading this stuff in your specialty, you would not necessarily hear about the stuff that's off in some esoteric corner.
Exactly.
So, you know, Dean Radin's work on psi phenomena is not going to show up on most scientists' reading list.
Right. Yeah, and even, like, within their own field, like, with physics, like, even with math, you would think that math is, you know, a general type of knowledge, but, like, I'll talk to, like, advanced math professors that don't know anything about fractal geometry. It's just not their specialization, you know?
Right.
And I've worked at colleges for several years now, and I've been teaching tutoring for about 12 years. I started when I was in high school, actually. And, you know, I see the same stuff over and over again. Like, students, they just learn enough to, like, barely pass their courses and they forget about it. You know, and this is goes for anyone, like people in medical field even. Like, I've had a lot of students that were starting to go to medical school, and I would definitely not trust them if they graduate and end up becoming doctors just because they didn't retain or even care about the information.
Right. Well, it's that, you know, when am I going to use this kind of thing? If I don't need it, why should I pay attention? And, of course, you don't know when you're going to use it and when you're going to need it until it shows up.
Exactly, because like you said in the beginning, what, like, everything's connected.
What was that thing that Jessica told me about?
Right. Yes, you never know. Like, everything's truly connected, like, and the universe is holographic or fractal or whatever you want to call it. No matter where you look, you can find connections to something else that you don't even think would be related to it.
Right, right. And the internet is a very slow, kludgy analog of how the universe works. You know, you can plug in anywhere and get all of the information from the system, and the system is designed so it can't fail. It's got redundant paths everywhere.
Exactly.
And that's pretty much what goes on with any of the esoteric and spiritual stuff. You can plug in through any number of methods and concepts, and it's all there.
Right.
Doesn't matter which tradition you used, what you call it. You just have to find your entry point, and then you get access to all of this information.
Right, right. And that's another thing with science. Like, you know, so modern science, they still hold to the whole separation classical paradigm, where everything's separate, mechanistic universe. There's no, you know, interconnection anywhere or anything like that. But with more the modern, like, holographic type paradigm, it's the same thing as the shamanic paradigm. Shamanism, non-ordinary reality, all that, you know, it's the same thing as, like, yoga talks about. All these different things are really saying the same thing with different symbols, different languages.
Right. 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 Mm-hmm. Except for science, which tries to chop it up into little pieces.
Exactly.
And study.
That's why I'm such a proponent of this holographic paradigm, because it does the opposite. So mainstream science actually, like, takes a whole and divides it into parts and separates it and labels it and makes everything a lot more complicated.
Right.
But if you think of the universe as a hologram, what happens is that each part contains the whole. That's, like, a huge principle with holography and how it works.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever been familiar with holograms or read anything about.
Yeah.
Okay. So a holographic film, really what's on is a bunch of non-local interference patterns. So the mathematics that uses this is interesting in itself, because the mathematics can actually take any object and convert the object into, like, a series of simple waves. Any object, you can, an apple, a basketball, a chair, you can describe that object with just a series of simple waves. And then you can also convert back to the waves. And that's how the whole non-local interference patterns get kind of recorded on the holographic film.
Right.
And because it's non-local, meaning that like distance almost doesn't make sense. Like each photon is recorded everywhere throughout the film. So when you cut the film up into little pieces, each piece contains the whole image. So you have that each part containing the whole property of holograms. And they see this with like your brain too, like how memory works is memory is dispersed throughout your brain. So you can actually like cut out pieces of like, you know, a rat's brain or something. And then each piece you cut out, the rat still remembers how to run through the entire maze.
Right.
And that's where Carl Pridham came up with his holonomic brain model. So you start seeing this holographic property everywhere, like when you're aware of it and you know what you're looking for, like you see it all throughout the universe. They have this, you know, each part containing the whole property that you can find everywhere.
Right. Well, when you realize how many people, or maybe how few people, how many people have no idea what Einstein figured out 100 years ago, which is well-established science that everything is both a wave of energy and a particle.
Right.
If it's an object with mass, it's both. And then we figured out later that depending on what testing equipment you use, you can either look at it as a wave or you can look at it as a particle, but you can't look at it as both.
Right.
Which is the conundrum of our physical senses. The senses look at particles and don't see the waves other than,
right,
you know, the light waves for our eyes and that kind of thing. But they're structured to look at the physical part of the world, which
right.
makes the energy part of it seem like it's not there.
Exactly, right.
And, you know, I know you must have run across this. Physics is considered a science that requires math.
Yeah.
And so the kids in high school that don't rise to the level of mathematics that they consider a requirement for physics never
right.
take physics.
Exactly.
And you can learn the concepts in physics without having to do the math. You don't have to do the proofs.
Right, right.
But it's not taught that way. And
exactly,
I just, that's one of my constant rants.
Right. No, I'm with you there. And like, as you know, a teacher and tutor, I see this a lot. You know, they just, I don't know about other countries, but for this country, the way the education system works with at least mathematics is they teach you all these rules you have to memorize without any explanation of anything behind, like what is this used for? Like what's the point of this? What is this describing?
Right.
And I really think that's the major problem with people not understanding mathematics. Who wants to memorize a bunch of rules that they don't apply to their own life? You know, if they were taught, you know, from an early age, how math is applied, even just simple general math, just how it's applied and like why it's useful to them.
Right.
And then they can build from there. You know, like I say a lot, because in college, you know, the basic level courses, like you start with, you know, like basic algebra or something. I think they should be starting with either a logic class or history of math. You start
yes.
with a history of math class, you see, like, you start working from, like, the basic principles of where this came from, and they can see how it was applied.
Well, and so few people ever get to study logic.
Right.
And, of course, once you study logic, it makes you a weapon of mass destruction and arguments.
Right. Yeah.
People are just throwing things around, and you can actually sort it out and make sense of it and tell them things
right.
that they don't understand.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was dangerous in college.
Yeah. What did you go to college for?
Well, what I thought I was going to be was an engineer. So
oh, interesting.
I went to the college in the system that I could plug into that had the engineering school, but I wasn't interested enough or good enough in math. And
right.
The School of Education was there as well. So I became a shop teacher. which you know, was the practical and artistic side of the technical stuff.
Right.
And working with people. So it was a wonderful place to start.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I thought about going into engineering myself because it's easier to get a job. But, right. After finding out what engineers actually do, they don't even use math. They don't really use these principles. They just use computer programs. And then, they're on salary and they're just working like dogs.
It's changed so much. Yeah. I went to a high school that I now call Hogwarts for Nerds.
Oh.
It was an extraordinary technical high school in New York. So, the background on lots of different levels that I got is not something that is even available anymore. That school has converted much more into digital technology and not hands-on stuff.
Right.
But still an amazing place.
Mm. Nice.
So where were you studying when you were a child? I don't like saying where did you grow up because
creative types
can't really say that we did.
Right. Well, I started just studying on my own. When I was younger, I'd go to the library. My parents got a computer at one point and I, used that all day. But I loved the library when I was a little kid and I would just study all these random things. And that was more the esoteric. I was kind of interested in the cult stuff when I was younger too, but when I got older and got more into physics and spirituality, just general spirituality, I didn't really think much about more esoteric or occult side of things until just recently I got back into it. Because occultism is interesting. It's very compatible with physics, I think.
Yes.
It's a quote especially, from M.E.T. Hall.
Especially if you get into the geometry of things and
right.
And
even shamanism as well. Real shamans are master occultics,
Yes.
One of my favorite quotes from Manly D. Hall is, occultism is the ancient science which deals with the hidden forces of nature, the laws governing them, and the means by which such forces can be brought under the control of the human mind. So that is a really good ending because you talk about the mind. You're not really controlling it through physical means, through physics, but more with your mind. And that's what shamans are known for,
Right. That's exactly right. We're going to go to a break in a couple of minutes. I want to make sure people know where to find you online.
Okay.
What's the best way to do that?
My website is not online yet. That's esotericscienceinstitute.com. That will be up soon. You can find me now on Facebook. So it's facebook.com/esotericscienceinstitute. And it's when my website and all my stuff comes out, you'll be able to see it through Facebook. I regularly post information and different resources and things through Facebook now. And so my website's ready.
Terrific. My guest tonight is the fascinating Jessica Isis. And when we come back, I want to make sure that we talk more about the healing modalities and the esoteric stuff you do, because I know you're into some absolutely fascinating stuff on that side of it as well.
Yeah.
So let's not leave that out.
Okay, great.
So we will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller or something, on The Farkas Files. This is David Franklin Farkas with Jessica Isis on Empower Radio, and we will be back. Don't go nowhere.
the forest, it's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm home. I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Jessica Isis. And we were just going to talk about some of the more esoteric and healing modalities that you've gotten involved in. I know you have a very wide range of things that you do.
Yes. Because everything's connected, and I just kept studying and kept learning and seeing all the connections everywhere. I first got into, besides just the general esoteric studies, but as far as, like, practices and modalities, I got into yoga back, actually, when I just graduated from my first college, and then I was about to go to the second college. And I got into the advanced yoga, and when I say advanced yoga, I'm not talking about, like, the crazy Vinyasa Ashtanga style, like, wrap yourself in pretzel poses or anything, but more the traditional yoga, that the esoteric yoga, not a lot of people know about. So I started studying that, and I started practicing that twice a day, and my life was just completely changed. And, you know, because I have that scientific nature, I'm a huge skeptic. And though I'm very open-minded, I'm always skeptical and questioning, so I wasn't really sure all the claims that they had said about it. So I was just kind of experimenting, but it definitely changed, transformed me. I got really into that stuff. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Kundalini term.
Mm-hmm.
So I had what they call a Kundalini awakening and started having a lot of this weird energetic activity and, like, strange synchronicities and all kinds of, like, phenomena, like out-of-body experiences and lucid dreams were going on. And, like, I was always into that. Like, when I was younger, I just didn't know any of this would be connected through, you know, advanced yoga practices or meditation or any of that. So I got really deep into that. I was practicing like twice a day. I went to like an hour and a half each like session, and it got to be too much. So I had to like kind of calm down the practices. But that was when I first started getting more like the healing modalities, the yoga and all that. Qigong. Are you familiar with Qigong?
Mm-hmm.
It's very related. I just got certified to teach Qigong about a year ago. But it's, you know, same stuff, really, just different symbols, different languages, a little bit different methods of practice. Same thing with Tantra. Like, Tantra is like esoteric yoga. Like, they're not exactly the same depending on what tradition you're talking about, but a lot of it is related. So, like, advanced yoga, Tantra, Qigong. I also do dancing, and I call it tantric dancing because it's like belly dancing, but it's a little more like free form and like spontaneous. Mm-hmm. You're like following patterns. And when I started doing it when I was younger, it was kind of after I started having this Kundalini activity going on. And it was like my body was being forced to move in these weird serpentine like patterns. Right. It reminded me of sacred geometry and mm-hmm. like just strange shapes and patterns I was doing. And, you know, me being scientific, I would be actually doing it and like trying to analyze it at the same time, like what was going on, because I wasn't actually consciously doing it. So from there, I actually started doing more like belly dancing and like learning, you know, traditional belly dance techniques. And I found out, you know, they're very much related. And I actually think of belly dancing practices came from like ancient priestesses that, you know, do like tantric techniques and stuff and naturally awaken their Kundalini energy.
Yeah. The, all of those practices, but especially yoga and meditation, are designed to allow you to go into that place, to have the Kundalini rise and have all those experiences. Although in the yogic tradition, you're supposed to ignore all that stuff that happens.
Right.
Not pay attention to it.
A lot of this stuff is taught in secret, you know.
Not give it attention, but...
Right.
Yeah, I've kind of lost the practice because of various things that have happened over my life. But there was a period where I had a wonderful yoga teacher who had been a dancer all her life and then got involved in yoga. And she would get, you know, the class was mostly housewives and one or two guys like me. And she had all these tricks to get us to do things that should take you 2 years to do.
Right.
And she would get us into some pose and say, oh, by the way, this is a temple pose. It's actually on the front of, and she'd name the temple.
Wow.
So there are all of these connections, but there are very few teachers that can give you those connections.
Exactly.
I saw this wonderful joke that said, you know, yoga is not about getting a tighter butt. It's about getting your head out of your butt.
Right.
Exactly. It's about becoming different and a better human being through the way your energy changes and your body changes and all of that happens.
Right.
Not what you look like.
Exactly. Where yoga comes from, I don't know if you're familiar with traditional yoga, but I mean, any yoga teacher should at least recognize the name Patanjali,
mm-hmm.
the Yoga Sutras. And second line, like where they begin, the second line is in Sanskrit, it's Yoga Chiti Vritti Niroda, which means yoga is the restraint of the mind. So it's really more about cultivating techniques so you can go into deep meditation and enter samadhi or oneness or absorption, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And,
yoga,
you know,
means
today
union.
Westernized.
Exactly. Yoga means union, and it's a union of the physical and the spiritual. It's
mm-hmm.
connecting your body to God.
Right,
so,
and that's how it's related to Tantra, because Tantra is also like non-dualistic, and like, you know, it's you're kind of integrating both polarities, you know, female and male. Or like I always bring up physics, you know, electromagnetism. Like
mm-hmm.
light is really a series of alternating electric and magnetic fields. Electric fields are more masculine, they're active, linear. And magnetic fields, they only have a curl, so it's circular, more feminine energy. Like, you'll never have a magnetic field, like, in a linear direction. it always had a curl to it, like a divergence.
That's a very interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's light. I mean, light is made out of electric fields and magnetic fields that are at 90-degree angles to each other.
Right.
So I would say, like, for Tantra, like the physics of Tantra is that you have the electric and magnetic fields that are rotating around each other at 90 degrees, and that's light. You're combining that to make light. And then another thing, if you're looking, because that's waves, if you look at the particle physics aspect of it, you have the electron and a positron. So positron is same thing as electron, only a positive charge, right? Same mass, mm-hmm. everything. Now, you put them together, they're going to annihilate each other, and you're going to create two photons. So you're taking the two opposites and creating light again. So it's funny how it kind of corresponds both to both, like, polarities.
Right.
You know,
well, of course.
When they're together.
How could it not? There just aren't that many people that have the information from both ways of looking at it. Who can look at it and say, well, these are exactly the same. But that's the kind of stuff that's in all of those old books about yoga, and whether they're from India or they're from China and Japan, they're all saying that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly.
It's amazing how people
don't make these connections to me. Like, I know a lot of the, you know, spiritual people, but I'm talking more about the scientific people. Like, they don't even, like, fathom this stuff, and it just it blows my mind.
Right. Well, you know, trying to explain shamanic stuff to most people who are materialist scientists gets pretty interesting.
Right.
Except for, you know, physics tells us that the part of the universe that has mass is about, latest number I saw was 3.7% of the universe is objects that have mass.
Right.
So there's about 97% of everything that is not mass. It doesn't have particles.
Exactly.
It's energy of some sort.
Right.
But we don't have a way to measure it.
Right.
And that's the scientific problem, is that the understanding and the technology that will come from the understanding isn't there to allow them to figure out what the energy is. And in the meantime, for the last, 9,000 years of recorded history, shamans in every indigenous culture have just been using it.
Right.
It's just, this is how this works, and passing the information down. And science winds up spinning their wheels because they haven't made the technological jump to be able to do experiments.
Right.
Can't measure. Can't do an experiment. Can't measure.
Right. Definitely. And to go back to the matter thing, like, matter is really just energy condensed to very extremely slow vibration. That was the whole Einstein's, E equals MC squared.
Right.
If you take any kind of matter or mass and accelerate the slow squared, you convert it to energy. So to me, like, that's just the basic premise I start with when I'm talking to somebody that's in the sciences or the academics. And I'm trying to explain some of my own theories and my ideas that I have. I always start with, everything is energy, period,
Right.
And then another thing with quantum mechanics, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, very few people really ponder what the E in that equation is. And
right.
E equals MC squared.
I probably think it means Einstein or something.
Right, because it's always considered to be making a big explosion from some object.
Right.
From the right kind of mass. And they never look at it as an equation and that it has to go both ways.
Right. Well, that's the thing with it. Like, physics, that's why, you have to know math to know physics, because that's the language physics describes the universe in. Because math is just a language, just like English, only it's more universal. If people understood what the equations, actually the symbols, meant, they'd understand what's going on. And people almost freak out about symbols. And like I told you before, I've always been into symbolism and languages and all these different things since I was a kid. So to me, it was just natural. But a lot of people, when they see a symbol, they freak out for various reasons, but they just don't know how to process that.
Well, and also because in the West, at least, any symbol that is outside of the mainstream religions is considered to be demonic.
Right. You know,
if it's not what we used, then it's scary and it's bad and it's bad. And there isn't any attempt to understand it. The thing that fascinates me about the symbology is how universal it is, how the symbols show up in different cultures, basically meaning the same thing. In different, not only in different parts of the world, but at different points in time in different parts of the world. And not just symbols, but geometry too.
And it's interesting. I just actually posted something on the Facebook Esoteric Science Institute, I think yesterday, about a scientist named Dr. Hans Jenny. And he was studying cymatics. And he found out that, like, Hebrew and Sanskrit, when you pronounce the vowels actually look like the symbols themselves. And it was really fascinating. Have you heard of the Sri Yantra?
Yes.
Okay, so that's like a big one in a different tantra system. And with the Om, it's very related to the Om symbol. So if you actually look at the Sri Yantra, it's the same form that's created in the cymatics experiment.
Right.
And, you know, how did they know the symbols of sound looked like back then? You know? So
well,
it's just
who
fascinating.
Knows? They may have had an experiment and created it, but...
Right. Well, those are like the two things I would think, like either like ancient technology. I do think there were civilizations and other things that had different types of advanced technology. So that's possible. Or even like more of a shamanic method of just like...
Well,
mystical,
right. You know,
they're
seeing it and they wrote it all down. And then later on, you get confirmation, which, by the way, is how Einstein figured out the way light works.
Right.
Do you know that story about his thought experiment?
When he's writing on the light wave?
Yeah. Yeah. He was 16 years old and probably playing his violin. He went into a meditative state. And he asked the question, if I was sitting on a beam of light traveling at the speed of light, what would I see?
Right.
And he came back and started doing the math, which is the difference between somebody who is just a mystic and somebody who is a scientist. But he basically went on a shamanic journey and asked to be shown something.
Right. Exactly. People don't realize how powerful the imagination is as a tool. I mean, everything that you can create first comes from the imagination, you know?
Right. Right. Or
that's the same with math. It's not necessarily like that you're creating the math, but you're understanding through the imagination, like you're just kind of playing with it, like see and feel different things of how things could work. And then you describe them through symbols.
Right. Right. And most people, at least in our culture, have enough problems with language as a set of symbols, much less getting into the math.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? You're teaching math and science and you're doing your...
Yeah, right now I'm just tutoring. I'm not actually working at the college right now. I'm in South Florida right now. So I'm just doing private tutoring. It actually ends up being more money if you do private tutoring. Over something if you're like working through the college. When I was working through the college here, they didn't pay well at all. So I ended up just doing like private yoga, stuff like that.
Right.
So right now though, I'm going to continue. You know, my goals are to get a PhD, you know? So I'm definitely going to continue with my schooling. And right now that's why I kind of decided to create the Esoteric Science Institute because like, you know, I teach all these advanced yoga and Qigong and meditation and dance. And I'm also a professional astrologer. So I do all these like weird things that aren't, you know, recognized by mainstream science, but I'm also into physics and math. So I kind of realized that all these things fall under the category of esoteric science.
Right.
So, you know, I thought about it and I figured that it would just make more sense if I created like my own institute where I would like teach these things and get other people who are skilled and talented in some of these things as well, you know, on board. And another reason I created the Esoteric Science Institute was because me being, you know, spiritual into like yoga and stuff here, the spiritual community has a lot of New Age things in it. And
right.
New Age is interesting because the New Age movement itself actually came from the esoteric sciences, like, you know, Theosophy and, you know, Swedenborg and all these different things. But now it's almost becoming its own religion, at least with certain things that I know, like in the spiritual community here, I see a lot of this New Age stuff, and it's like almost opposite of science a lot of the times. And some of these people are like so religious with these beliefs they have, and I almost feel like it's like disinformation to a lot of people that are open-minded and are looking for an alternative like path.
Right.
And I'm like really passionate about like with the esoteric science stuff that I'm doing, that it is somewhat scientific. I'm not just like saying any kind of weird belief I have and not giving like support for it. And another thing is I'm always kind of convincing people to do their own research. Like you don't have to believe what I believe. Like I believe all these things. You can believe whatever you want, but like I'm always trying to promote and get people to like read and research on their own and think and question right. everything. Because nowadays, especially, you cannot just believe everything you hear. And there's so much BS out there, like on multiple levels in every area, that you really have to like tune yourself to like have your own inner BS detector and like really know what you're looking for, you know?
Yeah, Hemingway said you need a heavy-duty shockproof BS meter.
Right, exactly. So now I see a lot of these people like around here that are like teaching workshops, and it's all very New Age. And like if you go see like one of the workshops or their classes, they're not giving you any kind of like educational information. It's just like them making money. Like it became like a money-making scam, this like New Age.
Right, right. And there is some real information in there, but they're
right.
Their understanding is not deep enough to teach it anyway.
Right.
And they find people that want to feel good in a group and, you know, hear the stuff that they're hearing. Now, it can be a starting point for people.
Right.
Or it can be something that sucks them in.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's the thing, like, with anything, any religion, like, it's just that like dogmatic doctrine, you know,
right.
And saying there's nothing else but this thing, you know.
Right.
And I'm always especially because I do believe the universe is holographic, that, you know, everything is really an illusion at a fundamental level. So you can believe whatever you want, and there's some aspect of truth to it. You know, I almost believe that nothing is wrong. Like there's nothing that's false, because, you know, how can you say even like a schizophrenic's reality is not real? You know, I mean, it's just a different illusion.
Right. Right. It just creates problems because they're not fitting in with everything else, and they may hurt themselves or someone else.
Right.
Which, yeah, I've worked in psych hospitals enough to have seen a whole lot of it.
Yeah. And we talked about that a little bit before on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. So. So the institute is the place where you're starting to pull together
yes.
other practitioners and other ideas and all of that. And
exactly. That's the goal. So, like, I don't have my own building or anything yet. That's definitely, like, a goal I'm going to have to work towards. And I have some other people that I've talked to about collaboration. But right now I'm just limited to, like, you know, different classes, shops, or lectures, like, at other studios in the area or, like, other people's mm-hmm. locations.
No, you can do a lot of stuff
online right now.
You can do a lot of that online. So
definitely. And that's what I'm doing right now through Facebook. I'm always posting information, and I'm working on my website right now. And it can go a bunch of different places. Right mm-hmm. now I'm just really starting up. So it'll be interesting
right.
to see like where this goes.
Absolutely. And I hope you'll stay in touch, and we'll get to see how it goes with you. You're doing very cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the I'm always looking for people that are, you know, in quotation marks, the real deal.
Right.
That are on the path, that are smart, that are asking the right questions and really going back to the basics in all the traditions and learning it from the beginning. And you're doing that. So that's my recommendation from my observation of you, not just on the show, but on Facebook and some of the other stuff going back and forth. But it's very exciting to find somebody, especially at your age, who's doing that. And it'll be very interesting to see what you put together.
Right.
So, meanwhile, as often happens when we have fascinating guests, we're running out of time. And I want to make sure that people know where to find you. Give your Facebook URL again.
It's www.facebook.com/Esoteric Science Institute.
Terrific. And the website, when it comes up, is going
I'll
to be
letting everyone know.
It's Esoteric Science Institute. So we'll be looking forward to seeing that come online. You know, I'm very excited that we got to talk and to meet you and just to be a part of watching this all unfold, because you're doing such cool stuff.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, too bad we don't have longer to discuss more things.
Well, I'm sure there's always more things.
Right, exactly.
Not enough minutes in the day, not enough hours in the week. And you're located physically in Boca Raton?
Yep, South Florida area.
Yep. Which is much nicer in the winter than some other places.
Oh, yeah.
All righty. So, stay on the line so we can chat afterwards.
Okay.
My guest tonight is Jessica Isis from the Esoteric Science Institute, which is just coming together because of everything that she's done and where she wants to take it. So it was very exciting to meet someone doing intense work and putting something together that's going to make a big difference, I think. So again, thank you so much, Jessica.
Well, thank you.
And if any of you got curious about who's this guy David and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab is every conceivable way to get in touch with me, including I offer a 20-minute free phone appointment to kind of assess what's going on with a person, place, situation, whatever it is, and see how my work might be helpful. If you want more information about the show, the archive is at thefarkasfiles.com. And we've been doing this for 5 years, so there are hundreds and hundreds of interviews with extraordinary people doing fascinating stuff. So I encourage you to look. We also, there is an archived show on the air every day at 9 p.m. on empowerradio.com. And on Thursdays, as you can tell, we record our live show and have a whole lot of fun doing it. So the other thing that's going on, I keep forgetting, we're on almost every streaming media outlet, including TuneIn, iHeartRadio, iTunes Podcasts, and Stitcher. And we have a new app, which they keep telling me is right on the edge of coming out, but there will be a new mobile app that will let you listen to Empower Radio anytime you want to. And Empower Radio is positive messages 24 hours a day, fascinating people in a really wide range of topics and areas of expertise. So I encourage you to look at the other stuff that's on this platform and make it part of your day, because it's cool stuff. And again,
thank you so much for being with us tonight. Thank you one and all for being here. Have a wonderful week. And this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio.